behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself, he's glorified, even as we're edified. Amen. Amen. So, you guys like rituals. Amen. So that you know, okay, Pastor, for etiquette. On Thursday, you might not have that privilege of knowing whether I'll just start. Okay, yeah, routine, it says routine. Yeah, that's true. Hallelujah. But, like I said, right, we must understand the fact that there is us coming into his presence. Like I said, the two are not wrong. When you say, I am carrying his presence, it's not a wrong thing. We have his presence. But so now, I'm telling you because I've been on that divide. Where I say, we don't go into his presence. No, we don't go. We are in his presence. We carry his presence. No, we go into his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. When we are gathered together, right, we come into his presence. We are in his presence. That gathering itself is God's presence among us. You remember in John chapter 14, Jesus said, in John 14, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither see him nor know him, but you know him, for he shall be in you. Watch it. He shall be in you. Right? In what? Is that inside? In you. And shall dwell with you. Did you see that? So, if we receive, how would I put it? I don't want to use the word double portion, because it's not double portion. We receive a double dimension. That is the other side. We're going to have the Spirit in us, and then when we're gathered together, the Spirit is with us. Did you see that? Now, many times, this is not part of my note, many times, when we get so much focus about the Spirit in us, so much his presence in us, and then we'll place lesser emphasis on him with us, create that dichotomy between the or create that division amongst believers. What are you hearing me? It creates that division. Believers now become selfish because there's an emphasis that is missing in the message, which is his Spirit with us, his Spirit amongst us. Did you see that? Amen. His Spirit is amongst us. We'll come into his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll look at all this when we get into the teaching on the school of the Spirit. That will be from Thursday, like I said. On Thursday, we begin to look at the school of the Spirit. And these are some emphases that we're going to have. His Spirit with and amongst us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we come together like this in church, we have his Spirit amongst us. We'll come into his presence. I remember one time like that. I said this, it's funny, but it's wrong. I said, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I said, David is wrong. We don't go into the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord, and we go there. Hallelujah. That is the emphasis of going to church. Because we're going to the house of the Lord to meet with brethren, and also to have an encounter with God's presence. So we can say, well, we go to church. Do we go into God's presence? We do. Amen. Are we in God's presence? Yes, we are. And we're going to God's presence. Hallelujah. We'll look at all that, like I said, when we get there. Then we'll look at it from the temple narrative. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28, verses 18. I was asking myself, smart, how are you going to link this? Well, Matthew 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all power, authority there, exousia, has been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, teaching them to observe. So we say, a good disciple is a good observer. Did you see that? Did we say that? A good disciple is a good observer. He observes. So, we began looking at what does a disciple observe in Bible interpretation. We said the disciple should know how later interpreters of Moses interpreted Moses. Because we've established it from scripture that Moses is the model of writing in scriptures, right? Right? Luke 24, beginning at Moses. So how do they interpret Moses? We say one, understand what they called the Old Testament books. The writer of the New Testament, what did they call the Old Testament books? Yes, they called it scriptures, right? Can you remember? I'm not going to spend time there because we have some other things to look at today. So we said one, they called the scriptures, right? They called the scriptures Moses and the prophets. Hallelujah. I would say nobody called it Old Testament books. Why am I resounding it? You need to hear it. It's not Old Testament books. They called it scriptures. They didn't call it Old Testament. They called it scriptures, right? So we said, Old Testament books is now used by us today for reference, right? But it's called scriptures, not Old Testament. So we now ask the question, what then is Old Testament, right? What then is New Testament? Now we saw that New Testament is found in Genesis. It's found in Exodus, right? It's found in Deuteronomy. It's called God's covenant. We said it, right? It's God's covenant. It's God's testament that was given to them. So when you find the word new there, it's actually the word kadash, which means renew, right? Renew. To renew. Hallelujah. To renew. So God renewed his testament. Hallelujah. So we can call it Renew Testament. God gave them his testament, his word, his covenant in Exodus. The same covenant he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same thing he said to Adam, said to Abel and Cain, said to Noah. Did we see that? Said it to Adam, Noah, Abel and Cain. He repeated it to Abraham. Right? To Isaac, to Jacob, and to the children of Israel. How are you following me? The same thing. But in Exodus, we saw that they broke his covenant. They did not obey his covenant. And he said it to them in Exodus, in Numbers, they broke his covenant. So what did he do? There was a Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means renewed covenant. Deuteronomy, Deutros Nomos, which is new covenant. Second law, renewed law. Did you see that? So God renewed his testament in Deuteronomy. Did you see that? The same testament, the same new testament. He is in Deuteronomy. Are you following me? So therefore, we now ask, what is then old covenant? And we looked at Hebrews. When Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8, what he called old there, what is old there, is referring to what their conduct, not scriptures, not the books, but their response to God's covenant is what is called old covenant. That was going away. Unbelief towards God's covenant. Who saw that? Hallelujah. Unbelief towards God's covenant is called old covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the New Testament? The same testament, the New Testament, right? Hallelujah. We also said the latter interpreters had other books in circulation. Glory to God. They had other books in circulation, but they relied on the 39 books for what? For spiritual growth. We said that. For spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. For spiritual growth. Oh, sorry, verse 16. I missed something. They handled it as materials for spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. We also said their understanding of God was restricted. Number 3, the understanding of God was restricted to the 39 books. Amen. I was with a friend yesterday, and then the person asked me, "Smart, what is your zodiac sign?" I said, "I don't know what that means." I said, "What's your zodiac sign?" I said, "I don't know what it means." He said, "Are you a phlegmatic person or a I don't even know what this is. I just said, truth be told, I don't do those things. But I said, no, it's just normal. I said, no, I'm in Christ. He said, no, you have to, are you phlegmatic? Are you sanguine? On the goings together. Not, I don't know what, I don't even know the difference between zodiac. He said, no, it's a combination of everybody. Now, it's a sample of everybody that was born around the time you were born, as in the same month. Look at it, they don't tell you what your sign is. I said, sorry. I walk in the spirit. It's not about church. It's not about God. I said, to me, it's about God. Amen. To me, it is about... Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's about God. I don't give ears or listen to those rubbish. What's the meaning of that? Now go and be searching for your zodiac. It's not this zodiac. Rubbish. Amen. And then we are teaching you the word every day. Amen. Amen. They received the knowledge of God through the scriptures. What you want to know about God is within the scriptures. You don't come saying some funny thing. Hallelujah. Someone said something. He said, the God of the Christians is the God of the Muslims. We just that we just serve him in different ways. I said, also too. It's the same God of the Shango. Let us just know that we are all in confusion. Rubbish. In Shango, even mommy water is the same God. No, let's just do everything together. Don't segregate. Amen. That's rubbish. Amen. I cannot say I want to know about God. And I'm going to pick up Krishna. You know what is Krishna? Hare Krishna book. And I'm reading Hare Krishna book. How? How will I want to know about my God and I'm picking up Krishna? Or you're picking up Hindu. That is just different expression of the same reality. Come. Too much grammar is making you go crazy. Come. Let's knock it out. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. They restricted. So that means as good followers of the apostles, we must restrict our knowledge of God. Restrict it. To what? The scriptures, the top 9 books. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. So the scriptures was restricted. Then number 4, we said, they wrote in such a way that you read their writing together with scriptures. Now you cannot better understand what they wrote except you read it together with where they were writing from. Where were they writing from? They were writing from Moses and the prophet. They were reading it. So they expect you to go back and reread. They don't expect you to read their writings alone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, who again? Peter. They didn't expect you to read their material alone. You must read it together with the 39 books. What are you hearing me? You must read it together with the what? The 39 books. If you read it alone, you will miss. It's likely that you miss what the original context of what they were saying is. That's why you get to scripture where they talk about talent. You think he's talking about breakdance. Because you are missing it. You are missing something. He talks about seed. And you're thinking seed is corn seed. No. You are missing something vital. So that means you can't have or understand their writing effectively without reading it from the 39 books. Because that's where they were writing from. Hope you're hearing me. So when they wrote letters, I told you what letters were for. Get our teaching on Colossae. What letters were for? So when they wrote letters, those who were reading the letters had by their side the scriptures, the 39 books. So when they were reading Paul's letter, I, Paul, to the church at Rome, right? Right? They had by their side Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. So when they read it, they were reading from where the author was writing from. You mustn't read the New Testament books away from the Old Testament books. I'll read something now. Look at Romans 1. It said, I, Paul, it said, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The moment they hear the gospel of God, where would they find the gospel of God? Where would they find it? Is it in the book of Diana? No. Did you say yes, Apostle? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Not in Diana's book. Amen. Not in Shango's book. They will find it where? Genesis and Malachi. What he say, which he promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. So when he say which he promised afore by his prophet in his holy in the Holy Scriptures, their mind go back to the 39 books by his prophet. That is the short form for what? Genesis down to Malachi. So they will go back to Genesis down to Malachi to look at what he has said. You see that? So there's always that reference point for them to go back again. So concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. So they hear seed of David. They will go quickly to where? To Samuel. Where God said to David, your seed after thee will I raise. Did you see that? So what are they doing? They are reading Moses. I mean, they are reading the 39 books, right? As they are reading his letter. Did you see that? He said, the seed of David. Oh, the seed of David. And they are picking it and they are looking at it for Samuel. When the Lord said to Samuel, is your seed will I raise up after thee? Oh, that is the seed. Oh, it's not Solomon, it's Jesus. Did you see that? Did you see that? So they are reading backwards. Hope you're following me. You learn to read backwards. You read backwards. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So that means words have their origin. Words have their origin, have their context within the Old Testament books. The Old Testament words have their context within the Old Testament books. Have that context within the Old Testament books. It's just like, I always go back to this key point. Key point. How many of you have seen key points before? Minus those who are old. You, yeah. How many of you have seen key points? You know what is key point? Do you know what is... No, you are old. Do you know what is key point? Have you seen a key point before? You don't see key point. Okay. Have you seen a key point before? Okay. Have you seen a key point before? You have. Imole, how? Okay. Have you seen a key point before? Your brother has not said, I wonder how you will see. But you know a key point. Now, key point is usually, well, maybe one of these days I'll show you a key point. I'll actually bring a key point to Ababio textbook to church. A key point. So that you see, and then I'll now show you Ababio textbook. How big Ababio is. Ababio is one of the biggest books you have to read in your secondary school. Right? You see Ababio as there. Then it now has a key point. Now has a key point. Oh, that book is big. God bless you. Bring it. You use the key point. Now, Ababio, give me this letter. Now, Ababio is as big as this. This one has read the Ababio textbook. It's as big as this. This Ababio, eh? Then key points is now this thing. You need to read this to pass WAEC. Now the man say, come and buy key points. Is this any cheaper? This textbook is like 13,000. This one is just 500. Key point 500. Everything you need to pass Ababio is inside here. Key points textbook. And he is reading this. You are reading this. Alone. And you want to get A. How can you get A? Tell me how you can get A. No, let's tell ourselves the truth. Some people did not listen. They went on to do use key point and they had D in their work. The next day they went for lesson so that they can read the main book. Now the person that made this key point, Ababio textbook is big. Now they make key point as a summary of the textbook. It's a summary. So that when you read and they write what are the 10 laws of thermodynamics. I know it's not Ababio. Permit me. I'm not a science student. You're not reading. What are the laws? Okay, 4 laws of thermodynamics. Right? It's inside the textbook. Right? Is there. And maybe the 10 laws of thermodynamics is 20 pages. The laws of thermodynamics, well explained with examples. Right? Right? Is there. Key points. Not to write 20 pages into one page, if I had half page, just listen to the laws. One, you must do this. Now the person that did that is not easy for you not to read it. He has summarized that 20 pages into what? Half a page here. And he wants you that when you get to read and you see the laws there, like this, in point, he wants you to understand what those points is. Now when you pick up your Bible textbook, you will see those points into the explanation that is inside there. You see that? So the key point was not written for you to neglect this. It was written for you to have a summary of this, right? So that, listen, so that you will be able to understand this better when you read it. So the key point will guide you back to this. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Do you understand? Pass this back on. Now, let me expose myself a bit. I will expose myself. I didn't use key points. No. I didn't even like it. But there was something that I used. I was supposed to read, listen, I was supposed to read, within SS1 to SS3, I was supposed to read 9 textbooks in WAEC. I mean, 9 literature books in WAEC, 9 literature books in NECO, combined together. No, sorry, I said 9. It's like, 9 plus 6 is what? 15, sorry. I'm so sorry. 15 in WAEC, 15 for NECO, and they are different textbooks. Is that 15 or both of them 18? I'm trying to think about it. But I know it's 3 books for each textbook. And out of that 15, you will only be tested on 3 or 4. So here comes the problem. Which one can I read? Right? So you have Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare, I mean, there's another book by Shakespeare, and then Hamlet. They'll ask you one question for many of these three. Then they'll now go to drama and poetry. They'll ask you Beggar's Strike and some other one. One question. So, Susie Bansi is dead and one other one. Then you also have Joys of Motherhood, Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart, and one other one too. They'll ask you one question. What are you following me? And I have to read everything. Now, WAEC is closed. I've only read Romeo and Juliet and I read it halfway. I didn't like the teacher. I didn't have one. I threw it away. I enjoyed Things Fall Apart and a bit of Joys of Motherhood. But exam is closed. What can I do? Lo and behold, my brother's school, they gave them another big textbook. And when you read, you're not just reading it to go and answer questions. You are reading it because you understand the theme, the plot, the characters, explanation of the characters, and then some other things. Those of you that did literature, you understand what I'm saying. Understand the figure of speech that was used all through the books. So there was a book that they now had in their school, my brother's in command. It's very, also very big. Very big. But you know what that book does, or did for us? That book had everything you ever need. Don't read, you don't need to read the, you don't need to read, you don't need to read the literature and start knocking your head concerning the theme, everything is there. All the themes explained. All the figure of speech, well, and all the poems I needed to learn. I needed to also learn for everything. Delivered and handed over. I said, when he gave me the book, I was like, Lord bless your soul. Ah, God! Seriously, at some point I was cramming some poems. I'm serious, I was cramming some poems. But when I'm not cramming the poems, I'm not asking, what is the theme inside? What is the theme? What is the plot? The plot there is, what is the context? You have to now situate what the person is writing in its content. That was where I discovered that Things Fall Apart was not just a mess story. Chinua Achebe was writing on something that was happening in his world. You get me? That's why you are like, oh, this is a plot. Well, more is just to write the, I've read it. Now, Chinua Achebe was easy for me because I've read it. I've watched the movie, Okonkwo. I've watched the movie. I've read the book. And then, when I got to the summary, it was easy to grab. But the rest, I saw that there was a disconnect. But men, I must pass WAEC. No time to read. Yeah. So I'm going somewhere. So I disconnected from the main book. And when my WAEC result came out, it showed. That made me cause I had a C6. A C6. Because there was just, I was inside the exam hall, and I was disconnected from the reality of the book. And lo and behold, no question came out from things fall apart. None! Did you see that? Not even a single Shindai question. And then the other one, Hamlet. Nothing. So I was left with Amen. But there was a disconnect. So that is what it is. When you read, because that main material also points me back, I should have read the main book, right? Then when I pick up that material as a summary, I will be able to understand what I've read. Did you see that? It will take me back to the book. There were points inside that material that it will take me back to a page list of the book, of the main book. But I won't read it. I'll just look at it. Okay. That one will read itself later. Amen. Hope you're following me. So, you mustn't get disconnected from where the writer is writing from. That's where I'm going to. Don't get disconnected. Don't get disconnected. The writer is writing from somewhere. Hallelujah. So therefore, we said they will employ a word or a sentence to explain a narrative in the Old Testament books. Okay, follow me. They can use a word or a sentence to explain a narrative in the Old Testament books. And then we'll look at the word baptize last week, right? Baptize. To be baptized. And we said, what does it mean to be baptized? We said, first of all, baptism is not a culture, is not something you will find at all in the Old Testament books. The first person that we saw baptizing is who? John. Right? John was the first person we saw that baptized anybody in scriptures. And we said, what was John doing? Amen. So ask yourself, what was John doing? So we saw what John was doing. We said, John, being a prophet, right? First of all, thought about baptism. Right? He thought that John baptizing with water. John baptizing with water was not his message. The water was a symbol. John's baptism was first of all a message. Acts 13:24. Look at Acts 13:24. It says, when John, there's an echo on this. Amen. So he says, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance. Did you see that? John preached the baptism of what? Repentance to all the people of Israel. John preached the baptism of repentance. So John's baptism was first a preaching. What does that mean? John first preached. So when John preached, we're coming there. He now used water to baptize them. So we said, why did John use water? Why did he use water and immerse people inside water? Right? So we said, John used as a prophet, based on what he had seen within the 39 books, within the scripture 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi, he looked back and saw how God saved with water. Did you see that? Amen. He saw salvation through water. When he said that, he saw God's salvation through water. So he employed it as a pointer that their attention will be fixated on something. Did you see that? So he saw how God came through water. First person he saw was Noah. In the flood, the key people, Noah and his family were saved, preserved. What are you following that? He also saw it in Egypt. 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 They came out from Egypt into the wilderness and they went through the Red Sea. God guided them through. There was a Red Sea and God walked through the Red Sea with them and then they went out of the water and the Egyptians perished. Okay, baby. Watch it. The Egyptians perished. Listen. They now wanted to go into Canaan. They have to cross again Jordan. Right? Now, those who came out from Egypt were not the ones that were entering into Canaan. Those who came out from Egypt were all dead in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, right? So they were going into Canaan and they had to cross Jordan. And what happened? The sea too opened and they passed through to Canaan. So they also saw Elisha. He sent Naaman back to Jordan. Naaman came with leprosy. He told him to go and wash again where? In Jordan. This is that the same Jordan that led into Canaan. Jordan is an entrance point into Canaan. This is that. So he took them back again to Jordan. Took Naaman back again to Jordan so that Naaman would go wash. And when Naaman was done washing, Naaman was healed. Healed there, Naaman was saved. Did you see that? Right? Was saved. So, showing you that what Elisha is saying, by hindsight today, we can say that when Elisha was saying to Naaman, that what was the major problem with him wasn't leprosy, but the salvation of his soul. For though he still received healing for his leprosy. Hope you're following that. Now, this is very vital. So, John has seen the importance of water and then the importance of Jordan into Canaan. So, what will John do? John will now go back again to where? To Jordan. Jordan is the entrance, right? The entrance towards a new beginning. The entrance to a new beginning where? In Canaan. So, he goes back again and said there's going to be a new beginning. Where? In the Christ. So, he goes back to Jordan. The same entrance. To show a new beginning, he's making them see that there is going to be a new beginning. So he goes back again to Jordan and he begins to put them inside water. Remember, he had taught them, right? So what did he say to them in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11? He said, I verily John baptize you with water, but there's one who will come after me, whose shoes I cannot lose. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. Did you see that? So he goes to water in Jordan and he pushed them in as a symbol to show that there will be the baptism in Christ. Did you see that? There will be what? The baptism in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the baptism in Christ? A new beginning in Christ. Hallelujah. A new beginning in where? In Christ. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Watch this. When you put that side by side with what Paul will now call it in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. It says, from verses 2. It says, and we're all baptized unto Moses. Now, Paul went back again to where? The Red Sea experience. The Red Sea. And he said they were baptized into Moses. That word baptized again. Remember, salvation through water, right? Right? So they were baptized into Moses. He wasn't saying they had baptismal class. He said they were baptized there, meaning they were immersed into Moses. He's saying in the Red Sea, you'll find an identification. So that means in baptism, what you find in baptism is what? Identification. Hallelujah. Now, which baptism? Is it water baptism or our immersion in Christ? In Christ, right? Now, what is the water baptism? What is it? Symbol of what has happened to us in Christ. Now, who did the symbol? John. Is John giving the symbol for us to follow? No. He's giving the symbol for them to see what he's explaining. No, but in Christ, what has happened to us? We have been baptized into Christ. So the baptism into Christ is called identification. So sorry. Identification. The baptism into Christ is called what? Identification into Christ. So Paul said they were baptized into Moses, meaning they were identified with Moses. Did you see that? They were identified with Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, when you find the word baptized into Christ, hallelujah, baptized into Christ, it shows our unity with Christ in the new birth. When a man gets born again, he is identified, baptized into Christ. When a man is born again, he is identified, baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. In Romans chapter 6. Is this song coming from downstairs? Yes. The light on. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead. So, Romans 6. Romans 6. Are you there? 4 verses 3. It says, know ye not that as many of you, I mean as many of us, after 4 verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So God forbid, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer there? He says, know ye not. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Do you see that? Hallelujah. As many of us that are baptized into Christ, is that the new birth? Are baptized into his death. He said, therefore we're buried with him in baptism unto death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness. Did you see that? New beginning? Right? Newness of life. Is this newness of life in Christ? Newness of life in Christ. So that identification brings about a new life in Christ. Did you see that? Did you see what Paul has said and what John has said is the same? A new beginning in the Christos, in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our unity in Christ is our reality. Hallelujah. So we are united with Christ. Hallelujah. In Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 24. I'll start 25. It says, for after that faith is come, you no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. This is that we are all children by faith in Christ Jesus. 27. But many of you that have been baptized into Christ, this is us, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So that means that baptism is what identification, unity. Unity. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I have put on Christ. Say, I have put on Christ. I have put on Christ. Hallelujah. What it means is that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. You know, Jesus said that in John 15. He said, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Meaning, when a man is born again, he is inseparable. You can't separate me from Christ. Nothing can. Obey the enemy. Nothing can separate you from Christ. Nothing can. Hallelujah. Say, nothing can. I'm identified with Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Verses 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for this that I said, the recruits are all belongs and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. From persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that? Nothing can separate us. We are in him united. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John, rush with me to John. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I'm united in Christ. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, glory. Yeah, I guess I skipped something here in my notes. Okay, John 10, sorry. Looking at it very well. Hey there. Hallelujah. John 10, verse 29. It says, on top of verses 25, it says, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do, in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is that? They shall never perish. Is it? Well, yes, shall never perish. Where does your mind go to? Where does your mind go to? Wilderness, yes. Never perish. Where does your mind go to? Red Sea experience. This is that mind goes there. Your mind goes to Noah. Amen. They shall never perish. Did you see when you are reading it? They said that you have the 39 books by your side. Can you see that? Amen. Amen. They shall never perish. Now, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Now, the word any man there is, neither shall anything, nothing can take them. Nothing can snatch them. Look at the next verse. Let's read the next verse together. Let's read it together. It's called community reading. Verse 29. Want to go? My Father which gave them me is greater. I mean, let's start again. 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here's the verse 30. I and my Father are one. Inseparable. Watch what he's reading. Nobody can snatch him from his hand. Nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one, nothing. Meaning that union cannot be separated. If you are born again, you are in Christ. Nothing can take you out. Hallelujah. Nothing can. That is that immersion. That is that baptism into Christ. What are you hearing me? Nothing can. Say, what about sin? Even sin can. Nothing can take you out of God's hands. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing means everything with the exception of nothing. Nothing, nothing can take you out of his hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus now says, I am my Father, we are one. Now, watch this. In chapter 14, verse 23. Here's what he says. 23. Or 20. It says, And that day you shall know, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I am in my Father, I am my Father are one, right? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in. That means we are in the Father. I mean, we are in Christ in the Father. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Look at 23. If any man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come and make our abode with him. Did you see that? So we are in Christ. Say, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. What are following what I'm teaching you this afternoon, this morning rather. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit you were baptized into one body." Is that, identified? A mass? Inseparable? What is it? It said, "For by one Spirit," right? "We are all baptized into one body." Baptized into a body. You say, we're going to read it, the B part shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By one Spirit, we are. Now, when you use the word "we are," it talks about our corporate identity together. Now, we've read, "I am in Christ." Right? "I am in Christ, baptized. I'm in Christ, inseparable." Right? Now, it says, "we are." So that means we have a corporate identity where? In Christ. Hope you are seeing that. Not just you alone, but there's a corporate identity we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So hold someone, look at somebody and say, "We are in Christ." Talk to someone and say, "We are in Christ." Look at the person. "We are in Christ." Hallelujah. Say, "We are." Say, "You." And me. You. You. This you. And me. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We are in Christ. So, our corporate identity, we are in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 We are in Christ. So, we have a corporate identity in Christ. So that means when we talk about in Christ now, we are all one with him, in him. We are all in him. Amen. Amen. We are all together in Christ. In Ephesians 1, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 12. In Ephesians 1, go further to Ephesians 1, verse 22. It says, "And has put all things under his feet, and gave it to be the head, which is Jesus," right? I'll start from verse 19, so that you see it. "And when he exceeding greatness of the star, to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at, at his own right hand, in the heavenly places, so far above all principalities," hallelujah, "and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is so, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Gave him to be the head. So Jesus is the head. Hallelujah. The head. So the head of the church. Well, your head, don't think about, don't look at it like your big head. Your small head. The way I say the head there, it means he is our source. He is the source. He is the leader. He is the captain. What are you hearing me? Is the head, the source, the leader, the captain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the captain. He's the shepherd. Glory to God. May he be the head over all things. In answer to the church. Now, hear what he calls the church. He says he calls the church his body. Now, remember, his church is all of us united in him. Right? Right? He now calls us his body. Now, when you hear the word body, don't think about your hand, my leg, I'm his toe, I'm his eyes, I'm his nose. No. When you have body there, right, it means he's leading us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we are together a component part of his handwork. We are a component part of his handiwork. We are a component part of his victory. So we are his body. He's our captain. Hallelujah. That means we are united together with him. Hallelujah. In him. Hope you're following me. We are what? In Christ. Therefore, Christ, in Christ Jesus, we are one family. Hope you're with me. We are where? We are what? One family. Hallelujah. Say we are one family. We are one family in Christ. We are one family in Christ. Hallelujah. One family. That is what God achieved in Christ Jesus. He has achieved a family. That family in Genesis 1, God has achieved it in Christ. Hallelujah. God has achieved unity in Christ. Remember, that was what men couldn't achieve. So they tried to build, they tried to build a Tower of Babel. Right? Tower of Babel was to show unity in idol worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Tower of Babel was idol worship. They were not doing anything to any skyscraper. It was just, it's a zugarat and it's used for worship of idols. And I say a zugarat is used for the worship of idols. So they say, let's build a tower that will reach heaven. I've told you, tower that will reach heaven, they are not building anything that will go to the sky. Tower to reach heaven is a zugarat. To reach heaven means that they can have, is an idol worship. It's idol worship. And we're here heaven to contact supernatural beings that is not God. Amen. I taught you that during the last CCRC. I said that to us. Amen. Amen. But that is idol worship. Idol worship. Now, what was the outcome of it? What was the outcome of its confusion? So that means man, what man couldn't achieve with all that UN. There's years now, United Nations, to unite the nations. Yet Russia is still bombarding Ukraine. United Nations. Israel is still fighting Palestine. United Nations. ISIS is still dealing with some people and Boko Haram are still doing their own work. United Nations. We go to some parts in Europe, they'll call a black man monkey till today. So that means man cannot achieve unity. They say, no, we can be united, we can unite everything. Let us be. Yet, the president will be passing with taxi convoy and it will block the whole road, showing that there is no unity. Amen. Amen. You know, God. There's that dichotomy between the rich and the poor. Right? Black and white. Once again, tribalism. We saw that in the last election, tribalism. The way you know that with all the English we still know, they see tribalism somewhere. Amen. What's other thing? So that means what men couldn't achieve, God has achieved it in Christ. What has God achieved in Christ? A family. A family. Hallelujah. Then look at Galatians. Okay, before we get to Galatians, 1 Corinthians back, where we read chapter 12. Now look at what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 12, where verse 34, but once we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we be, we've all been made to drink into what? Into what? One spirit. Did you see that? So what has God achieved in Christ? Oneness. Unity. Hallelujah. What has God achieved in Christ? Unity. Oneness. Family. Brotherhood. Brethren, isn't that? God has achieved what? Brotherhood in Christ Jesus amongst believers. Galatians. Galatians 3 verse 28. We were here earlier. Galatians 3. Are we 27 to 28? For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on what? Christ. 28. Let's do 28 together. 1, 2, go. There is neither. Come on, are you not there? Am I fast? Come on, am I too fast? Come on, so open your Bible fast. Verse 28. Okay, we read 27 together and 28. Let's go. Many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you see there is neither male nor? No, they say we are brothers. They say no, we are sisters. We are brothers. Say, we are brethren. They say no, we are sisters. No, this is sisters. We are sons of audacity. They say no, I am a son, I am a daughter of audacity. No. I'm a daughter of audacity. So why the boys, why the son of audacity were doing the word? We're having classes. Then the people were frying. They were frying chin-chin to bless the brothers of audacity. Anyway, don't mind you. Anyway, so some people were Mary, the sons of audacity were Mary. But the daughter of audacity were Martha. Anyway, to now serve jam donuts and malt to their sons of audacity. Continue. Amen. Sir, what will you forget when I go to be with the Lord? I will keep remembering. Let me not lie, I will not clean. This one cannot erase on my head. I try to erase it, but it couldn't erase. So we live with it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah! So God has achieved unity in Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. That means there shouldn't be a divide. There shouldn't be a divide. I remember growing up in Sunday school, well, we do Sunday school, children church, growing up, that there is just this thing that just happened among the children. Among children, we saw it from the big church, which is adult church. It's just when they close, they have the rich people's association. Among parents, so the rich people is their parents that usually are elders in church. Am I right or am I right? Very right. So rich people, their parents are usually elders. So the ones that are other ranks, you know your place. Amen. So after church, is either they belong to whatever place. But after church, everybody just know where to meet. The elders meet somewhere. The rich people come with car. Those that don't have cars, you already know your place. Hallelujah. So that's forming. That forming now translated down to the children's church. Why those whose parents are rich speak English? Not sure they speak Queen's English. No, I don't. My daddy used to take me to school with car. My car. So you don't even have bicycle. You just park somewhere. After church too, everybody knows their place. Everybody you don't talk to. If you talk to them, they will fall your hands. Amen. You just see that dichotomy everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sir Joy, come and carry this student backwards now. Amen. Amen. So, there is that automatic dichotomy within how even among children, the thing found its way to our midst. Glory to God. So there are some people who don't just talk to, just allow them be. So once we are done, we the barrack children, we just gather ourselves in a group, How fun, how school. Why does that over there for me? Yeah. I said they don't use the used toilet that we used to use at home. I think but I grew older and older within the Sunday school. I began to try my best to break those cliques, and I did successfully. I break those cliques. You want to belittle me? Anyway, so as time goes on, he went away. But I still saw it amongst people that came afterwards. Amen. Just that dichotomy. You just come into church. This is men's role. This is women's role. That is youth. Why are you doing that? Amen. What has happened in Christ? There's neither male nor female. Neither boys or girls. We are all baptized into Christ. No tribalism. Somebody asked me one day, say your church. The last time your church, is it Yoruba church or Igbo church? You might have said, look at you. Do you know anything? Anyway, they have brought tribalism into the church. It is our own Yoruba church. Yoruba. No, there's nothing like that. There is this Igbo church, Gothic church. No, it is the church of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I sing Igbo songs. I sing Yoruba songs. Right? Right? If I know Hausa song, I will sing. If I need to sing one, yes, yeah, na na. These ones are not original Hausa people. They are fake Hausa. Anyway, pause that thing. How many of you know that Pastor Wisdom is Hausa? Right? So we are in Christ Church. Yeah? So we have a common identity in Christ. Hallelujah. And what is that common identity? We have one spirit. The same spirit. Hallelujah. So when a believer tries to bring in all these divide, bring in social status, bring in tribal sentiment, color bias, he or she is walking in the flesh. He's not putting his eyes on what Christ has done. What has Christ done? He has united us. He has said, well, who we are in the natural. Hallelujah. Our status in the natural reach up all in Christ. So when we come to church, there's no special seats for rich people. There's no special seats for those who don't have. There's no special seat for people that economy is dealing with. There's no special seats. Do you get me? For those who have zero balances in their account. There's no special seats for bankers. No special seats for, hallelujah. Glory to God. For coppers. Thank you. These are coppers. Coppers Association of Saint Pavilion Church. No. No. Hallelujah. There's no coppers lodge in church. We are all together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know, why do we not have place for pastors to sit? Because of honor for their work. Did you see that? Just for their work, honor. But when we sit like this, it's not because we want to judge anybody. It's because we honor them, right? So these are pastors' seats. Let's honor our pastors. Hallelujah. So we are honoring our pastors. But the same way we are honoring our pastors, we don't expect our pastors now to land seats. Okay. MDs are in front. Employees are at the back. No. Amen. There's no divide. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to come on some people's souls. I'm betting next week you will sit at the back. Amen. Glory to God. But you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. We don't have investor seats. Investors sit in front. No, we don't do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we don't bring in divide. So, that is why the Bible says we are brethren. We are what? Brethren. We are in the same family. We are the same family. Brethren. Brethren means we are from the same source. We are from the same womb. We might not be born by the same father at home. We might not have the same parentage in the natural, but we have the same parentage in Christ. We have the same, hallelujah, we have the same DNA in Christ. Hallelujah, we have the same spirit. We are brothers. Hallelujah, we are brothers. We said that last week. Hallelujah. Say we are brothers. We are brothers. Glory to God. So as brothers, how do we treat ourselves? How do we treat ourselves? Now, every family, you put it back. Every family has a culture. Hope you know that. Every family has a culture. And now your culture is your nature. Now in Christ, we have Christ's culture. We have the nature of Christ. So the culture of Christ is his nature. Hope you hear me. The culture of Christ. It's his nature. So we have the nature of Christ. We have the culture. So there's a culture of believers. That must reflect our nature. In Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13 quickly. Oh yeah, last week. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Are you there? Verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot. Now there was verse 7, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. So Lot became wealthy just like Abraham. So they now have possession, they now have things. So there were now strife, there were now arguments, there were now fights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is richer, for example? Who is richer than who? So he says, no, it's my master Abraham that is richer. No, it's the master Lot that is richer. Hallelujah. It's like this that is richer. It's like that that is richer. So, you know, there was already strife. Hallelujah. Serious strife. Glory to God. So then, Abraham now said to Lot in verse 8, say, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. This is that. Say, let there be no strife between us, that because we are brethren. We are what? Brethren. Let there be no strife. We are brethren. Hallelujah. We are brethren. So that means, in brotherhood, there should be no strife. In brotherhood, there should be no strife. No strife. And what is the background of strife? Cain and Abel. Right? Cain and Abel. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Where is your brother? What is? Everybody look up, brother. Where is your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? God required of his brother from him. That shows you we should be our brother's keeper. In brotherhood, we must not allow strife. You must not allow strife, jealousy, envy. You mustn't allow it in brotherhood. What are you hearing me? Because you will always know the starting point of strife. You can never know the end of strife. You know how to start strife, but you don't know how to end it. You don't know where it will lead to. Cain was angry with his brother until Cain killed his brother. His brother! Listen up! His brother! Glory to God. So there must be no strife. Hallelujah. Even after Lot left Abraham, Lot left and went to Sodom, a richer place from the outside. Fertile land. He went. The moment Abraham heard that his brother has been captured, what did he do? He didn't say, Nah, say you're supposed to make a choice. You want to choose. Nah, God don't catch him. Begin to now. Somebody will now be prideful that your brother isn't pulled down. You are happy that your brother fell into a sea. You are happy that the brother is no longer walking in Christ. You say when he used to make mouth, I'm in Christ. We tell him. Say now I don't open. Amen. You're not laughing at another brother. You're not laughing at another brother. You know someone in school who was so zealous for the Lord. So zealous. You're telling, you were so zealous. And now, you're out of school and you now see him. Because you are now driving a Prado Jeep. Cruising around town. You now saw him on his leg at his bench, unkept. But you know he's a believer. As they say, when we're telling you in school, be coming down, you're a former pastor. You see? Your eye don't clear? And some of us now say something, maybe not to them directly, maybe to a friend. See, that guy, when we were in school, we used to tell him, they serve everything is moderation, he was not hearing. You can see, no. You're happy? That a believer fell? No! We need brethren. Hallelujah! We need brethren. You must settle it in your mind. Settle it within you. That believers are brethren. We are bound together by what is stronger and thicker than blood. Nothing is thicker than blood. No, there's something thicker than blood. Stronger than blood. And that is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God. It's stronger than blood. Stop it. Say blood is thicker than water, yeah? The Holy Ghost is thicker than all of them. Let's even go by that. There's something stronger. So I wouldn't laugh when my brother is falling. No. Hope you're hearing me. are you hearing me? I won't make it a matter of this, that a believer is no longer in Christ. I will make it a matter of this. Stop it! So, Abraham heard that Lot has been captured. He didn't start dancing. Say, we told him, because he just has small money. He now bragadoing. Say, now, don't catch him. I the man has kill him. No. The Bible says he left everything. Hallelujah. He left everything. He carried his own headsman. The pastor is here to carry, yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 14, Genesis. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he harmed his strange servant, born in his own house. So, his servant, what was Abraham's occupation? Is he not head? So, his trained servant, headsman, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. So, Abraham, right? Abraham, now, okay. Okay, I'll deal with that later. And chased them unto Dan. Dan was not yet born at this time. But how come Dan was named? Because it's not for today. Amen. But he changed them into Dan. Now, inasmuch as Lot has gone, Abraham still demonstrated brotherhood by going all out to rescue his brother. You see that? So brotherhood means if you are down, if you are in distress, I'm going to sacrifice all to rescue. So brotherhood is sacrifice. Brotherhood is what? Sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Brotherhood is sacrifice. A brother who needs your help, you have to go all out to ensure that you help the brother. That's all. You are duty bound to help the brother. Duty bound. You are duty bound to help the brother. What am I hearing me? You are duty bound. Say, I'm duty bound to help a brother. Hallelujah. But there's a line to cross. There's a line not to cross. I'm going to deal with that. The same way, I'll deal with something today. And then I'll take up a more serious matter on that topic by next week. Amen. We'll get there shortly. Amen. Glory to God. But there's always a line you shouldn't cross. Glory to God. But we'll see all that as we progress. But when you help a brother, don't help with conditions. Help. Amen. Okay, you know what I mean? Help. But make sure you help. I've said this before. I needed to listen to some of our teachings on giving. There's a teaching on giving that I said, that I taught you. Now, when it comes to helping a brother, right, make sure when you help a brother, I'm not saying you should announce to the whole church, but make sure you carry your pastor along, and it's for a reason. Hope you're hearing me. It's not that you want to report, no, for a reason. Carry your pastor along. It's a mechanism we'll put in place, that we'll put in place in church. Hallelujah. We'll put that in place in church. Your pastor at least must know. And for a reason. Hope you are hearing me. So you cannot just stand up and go and give another person money or carry your pastor along. Amen? We discover there's a sanction. It's wrong. Just carry your pastor along. Hope you are hearing me. Okay, so we went all out. We're going to see some of those things shortly. So that means what Abraham has done in doing this to Lot is that no matter how much Lot has wronged him, what did he do? He went all out showing that he forgave Lot. You see that? So forgiveness is the nature and the character of brotherhood. Forgiveness is the character of brotherhood. Forgiveness is the character of brotherhood. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Look at what Paul said. He says, this is one of the first scriptures I learned growing up after John 3:16. This was one of the first scriptures I got to, I had encounter with growing up. Back on John 3:16. It says, Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be a kind one to another. Hallelujah. Be a kind one to another amongst believers. Let's start from verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Ephesians 4:31. It says, be put away from you with all malice. There are things you shouldn't have with you. He said, but it is among believers. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. He said, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Hallelujah. So let's be kind one to another. The word kind there is the word testos. Amen. Yeah. It's the word testos. C-H-E-T-O-S. Testos. Means to be gracious. To be gracious. To be good. Let's be good to one another. Let's be good. Be gracious to one another. It's a tender hearted. Tender hearted. With humility. Hallelujah. Not because I was good to you. I'll not be saying it everywhere. See that guy, but I was one that helped him out. See that funny boy. I gave him money. Oh, be good. Tender hearted. Be humble. He was, you come to help the brother. The whole body of Christ will know you help the brother. No. Everybody will not know. No. Hallelujah. How about that? He says, ha. So you can see that sneaker that looks like that imported one that she used to wear. The brother was good to her now. How? Must he do that? Amen. How must he say that? Why must he say that? Amen. Take the tender, humble, right? With all tender hearts. Not pride. It says, forgiving one another. That word forgive there is the word charisma. Charisma. Forgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word charisma means to grant. To grant like you're forgiving somebody to how you rescue and deliver someone. Forgiving one another. To forgive. Forgive. Charisma. Forgive and not hold it as a grudge. That's what it means. Hallelujah. And not hold it as a grudge. Forgive one another. I say, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Hallelujah. So that means how we forgive people will be reflecting in Christ's forgiveness towards us. Hallelujah. So our forgiving attitude is because we have seen it in Christ. Let's see what Jesus said. Matthew 18. So, Matthew 18. So, we'll reflect God's forgiveness and now we'll forgive people. God has forgiven us. So let's forgive people. Some people will say things. I've heard people say, I have forgiven, but I will never forget. I will never forget. No. You can forgive. Right? And forever forget. It's not possible, sir. Well, I know it's not possible for you not to remember. But you can remember, you can have that remembrance and then just wave it off. And never remember it. Someone like me. If I say I forgive you, I can't remember it. I can't. It won't even cross my head again. It's past. If I ask me about details of that thing, I just know that you annoyed me one time, but I can't even remember what happened. Sometimes people think I take it, but no, I really can't. I have too many things on my mind to think about. I start remembering some unnecessary details. That doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Who are following me? So you forgive. You reflect it in how you forgive brothers and sisters. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. He said, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us, So the question is that, how many times should I forgive my brother? Some people, I've heard people say, God, I'll never forgive you this time. Don't do it before. You don't do it again, I will not forgive you. I've heard it before. Anyway, I even heard someone say this. He said, Pastor, it's just because it's you, Pastor. If not because of you, Pastor, I don't think I have anything to do with this person again. And both of them are brothers. Both of them are brothers. Ah! No, now. Why? Have your anger gotten to that point? Remember last week I told you we're going to work on anger, right? Was it on Sunday or Thursday? Oh, on Thursday, yes. I told us on Thursday, let's work on anger. And when we work on anger, is to consistently feed on God's word concerning it, right? You say things, you say God's word concerning it. You feed on God's word actively. I don't walk in anger. You call yourself smart, I don't walk in anger. Hallelujah. Those things that make you angry, you say it, and you say, these things will not make me angry. You say it to yourself, because God's word said, I'm a child of love. God's word said, I shouldn't allow anger to stay. So, I won't allow you to even stay a second within me, around me. Amen. Amen. We actively feed on God's word concerning that. The same way to unforgiveness. Right? I forgive. Say to yourself, I forgive. I don't know how to hold back grudges. I forgive. Hallelujah. Say it, I forgive. And I forget it. I forgive forgivingly. I forgive well. Hallelujah. So, Matthew 18. Let's see verse 21. Peter, if you read the account in Luke 17, you will also understand why Peter said what he said. He said, and came Peter to him and said, how often shall my brother sin against me that I forgive him? See, seven times, because Jesus said something in Luke 17 about forgiving seven times. Then that says, is it seven times? So if I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, this is the 8th one. I will hold it against you. This is that. But he didn't get what Jesus was saying. So Jesus now said to him, I said not unto thee unto seven times, but 70 times 7. So, you will be a demon yourself to start counting it in a day. If you can count it, you are the one that needs deliverance. 70 times 7. Now sit down seriously. 1. You are 300, oh. 301? 400. 490. The next one now, I will kill. No. Amen. Amen. No. What Jesus said, 70 times 7 is telling you, you should forgive always. Hallelujah. You should walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah. Look at how we now explain it. We now explain it with a parable in verse 23. Say, therefore is a kingdom likened unto a certain king. Watch how we explain forgiveness with this parable. Okay? It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king which takes account of his servants. And when one had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now you that are thinking talent is talent. Okay, it's owing him football skills, singing skills. Here is 10,000. So the person has 10,000 talents. Did you see? So you have to ask yourself, what is talent here? Money. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. So the man, okay, the other part of the question say a master gave his servant talent. This is not breakdance. It's not football. The talent is what? Money. Hope you're with me now. Uh-huh. Settle. Let's continue. Okay, so he owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not paid, he had not to pay,
his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all he had, and the payment be made. So the king said, because you cannot pay me, I'm going to sell all you have. I'm going to seize your children and your wife. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee. Right? And I pleaded. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him from his debt. So he explained forgiveness as he loosed him, meaning he wrote off all the debt. He said, don't worry, your debts are gone. Right? Did you see that? So the master forgave his servant. Your debts are gone. Because you pleaded, don't worry, forget it. 10,000 talents. And that is equivalent to millions of dollars today. He allowed it to go. Right? Right? Okay, let's see something. Verse 28. But the same servant went out. That servant that they forgave, he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence is like, talent is the higher, just like, talent can be millions, pence can be thousands. Did you see that? Amen. So, you owe big money, they forgive you. Somebody now found somebody that is owing you, let's say, 4,000 naira. You're owing millions though in dollar. They forgive you. No, that is owing you 4,000 naira. Yeah, what he done did. And for one of his own servants, which owed him pence. Right? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Then some of us are like that. They say, which guy is wicked? But that's what some of us are. We're going to see. Say, pay me now! You! My money! There are somebody has written off your debt. And a fellow servant fell at his feet and besought him and begged him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went to cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. This is wickedness. You put him into prison. How will he work in prison to pay you? Amen. And his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord what he had done. And the Lord, then his Lord, after that he had been called, after that he had called him, said to him, oh thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all thy debts because thou desirest me, you begged me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? Did you see that? So now put it this way. The Lord forgave us our sins in Christ. Did you see that? The Lord forgave us our sins in Christ. He forgave us. He forgave you and I our sins. Hallelujah. Now, what Jesus is teaching here is, the same way God has forgiven you your sins, replicate it. So that is how the kingdom of God is. You replicate it in how you walk with people. Amen. Amen. How you walk with men, how you walk with fellow believers. More importantly, you forgive them. You show good to them. You show compassion to them. You forgive them. You allow the grudge to go. Hope you're following that. You allow it to go. Allow it to slide. Allow the grudge to go. Let it go. So that means in how we forgive people, it should reflect how Jesus has forgiven us our sins. When they say, I forgave him before. Right? I forgave him before. He did it again. How will I forgive him? Stop. When Jesus died on the cross for you to be saved, did he forgive you? Right? After you got saved, have you not sinned? Or since you got saved, you've not committed sin at all. You've been perfectino. Have you been 100% perfect? You cannot achieve it. It's only Jesus that has achieved 100% perfection. That means at several times in our lives, will fall. In fact, some people, they are just asking God for, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Right? You've done something and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I have forgiveness of sins already. Right? They are saying, I have forgiveness of sins already. They have, Lord, thank you because I know I have received forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Right? And now they are saying that, they are going out, they are sinning another sin. And God has forgiven you already for it. Even before you sin the sin. Amen. Are you following me? And I say, Lord, I'm sorry again. Sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. And then you walk again, you commit another sin. And God has forgiven you all of them in Christ. Do you see that? You know, Christ paid for our sins. You know, we don't have past sins, but let's put it that way. Past, present, and future sins, Christ has paid for them all. Even before you sin the sin that you want to sin when you sin the sin, they are forgiving. Amen? They are forgiving you all of it. And he now wants you to replicate it. You're going to watch yourself this week. How easy is it for you to forgive people? How easy it is. So maybe they will have to beg you and beg you and beg you and beg you and beg you. And say, okay. Yeah, people, you are, I'm sorry now. So they will beg you like you are who? Like you are what? Pharaoh. Having heart. Did you see this? Do me go. Bury me. Touch my blood. Touch my bones. Sorry now. Oh, no. Don't tell me sorry. Some people say, don't even tell me sorry. I don't want to hear your story. I'm not going to see you like that. I don't want to hear your story, Joe. Every time, sorry. I'm sorry now. I don't want to hear your story. Your story is irritating me. Believer, let us see this morning devotion. Your story is irritating me. I'm sorry. Don't sorry me. Don't sorry me. Okay, forgive me. Is it your forgiveness? I don't want to forgive. Please go your way. Let me go my way. No. Amen. Watch how easy it is for you to forgive. Hallelujah. I did something some months back and I said, I should forgive easily. I do that. If you tell me, I'm sorry, I just say, okay. You know, I've moved past it. Amen. I've moved past it. Don't worry. Glory to God. I shouldn't allow it to stay. Because it's even more grievous for me that it's allowing grudge to stay for me. So even forgive people before they even sin against you. How's the person? No, don't worry. Well, fine. I forgive you. So is it that easy? Was that easy for Jesus too? Hallelujah. Hold on, hearing me. Was that easy for Jesus to forgive us our sins? So he forgives people their sins. They are wrong. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it so that it's just a sermon. I'm saying it's not that you will practice it in your life. So, you feed on God's word concerning forgiveness. Say, Lord, I don't walk in anger. I forgive easily. Hallelujah. Forgiving easily doesn't mean you now begin to, you first have a worst scenario concerning the person. No. Like, you don't have any scenario, you didn't play any scenario in your mind. Right? Right? Some people ask, what is the worst thing this guy can do to me? Let me now see it. Okay. Let me forgive him ahead of time. No. Amen. So I will not be looking at him with that eye. No. See, today I forgive you. No. Forgiving means I'm not thinking anything bad or thinking, playing any scenario in my head. Right? But if anybody wrongs me, you're forgiving. Can it be that easy? Yes. It will also help your life. Now me carry your head. This load you, they carry. This person hurts me. This person wrong. This one broke my heart. This one scattered my chest. This one did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easily forgive people. Easily forgive people. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, you do it all the time. And Jesus gave that template for us. For us to forgive people. He gave us that model. He modeled it for us. Hallelujah. Forgive people. I'll close like this. Let's see verses 15 of that Matthew 18. Verse 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I handle a dispute with a brother from the same local church? You know, we just spoke about forgiveness. How do I handle a dispute with a brother from the same local church? We said forgive, right? Forgive. How do I handle a dispute? Start a dispute. Start a dispute. The same local church. So, it's still within Matthew 18. It's the same thing. He answers it. Forgive the person. But let's see where Jesus, how Jesus came to, or how we got to verses 21. Look at verses 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, if he shall trespass against thee, we'll further look at this, next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. It says, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained your brother. But before then, look at what Jesus said about offense. Verse 7. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man to whom offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter half of or main, rather than having two hands and feet to be cast into everlasting fire. What does this mean? He's not saying you should cut your hands. Growing up, I thought Jesus was saying you should cut our hands, to enter heaven with one hand and one leg. No, he's not saying you should cut your hands and your legs. He's saying, right, that you have to deal. He's telling them, we'll look at this and where he's writing from. He's writing from Moses. He's saying you have to deal with offenses. Don't allow offenses stay. Hallelujah. Deal with offenses. When people offend you, you have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deal with offenses. Forgive. That's what it's saying. Deal with offenses. Forgive. Hallelujah. When you say plug it out, it means you should stop it. Cut it off. Sort it out. He now says in verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Go and tell him his fault. Your brother has offended thee. You start telling people. You know, people like to buy pity. Let's say, for example, Sister Ayo has offended Zipporah, or they had a misunderstanding. Ayo now took it, now went to tell Apostle, man, I'm angry with Sister Zipporah. That's all they did to me. Zipporah now went to tell Victor, look at what Ayo did to me. Ayo now told it to Investor. Look at what Zipporah has done to me. Zipporah too now told it to Ada. So like that, they've created a faction. Hope you know that. Amen. Nobody spoke to each other about it. And that is a wrong way to handle disputes. You are using your issue to divide and cause faction in the church. So people will not go further. The secret that they've enjoyed within themselves as friends, as brothers, the brother will not say it to Ada. She will tell the brother's own to Victor. Tell it to this one. So like that. Church has divided. One person, two people have divided church. You think I can two people divide church? Wait till we get to the book of Philippians. Two people divided church. Amen. Church divided. One or two people. Amen. Just two people. because you've not followed what Jesus asked you to do. He said, tell him his faults. Amen. Tell him his faults. He says, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. So you as a brother, somebody is coming to tell you what somebody else has done to him. Don't listen. Say, I want to report the person. First of all, you stop the person. You say, have you met the person? Do you hear me? Amen. Have you done what? Met the person. So you have to go and meet the person. And do what? Reconcile. Don't go to meet the person and say, hey, the brother, I want to tell you today. That rubbish you did. That is not reconciliation. No. That is to further fuel. Amen. But don't call reconciliation, Sister Zipporah. You know, I told you how to call people by the name, Sister. It will quench any anger. Amen. Sister Zipporah. I'm really not happy. XYZ. Blah, 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 blah. And you guys should have said to me. Even if I didn't like what you said to me, but, you know, but Pastor has taught us. We are brethren. I forgive you. Right? You reconcile. You do what? Pastors, they came to report to you. Ask the first question. Have you reconciled with the sister? Don't jump in immediately. You must learn to teach people how to go and reconcile. What are you hearing me? What are you hearing me? Learn to reconcile. And if even in the corporate world, someone offends me, I shouldn't tell it to another person. I should tell the person first. Even in corporate world, tell the person first. I didn't like what you did to me. It's not good. I thought we were friends. Did you see that? I didn't like it. Especially it's not heavy. And the couple will leave the person. Me. Amen. Amen. But as a believer, you tell the person his fault. Now, if the person has gained you, fine. But Cecilia said, if the person will not hear you, if the person did not listen to you, what would you do? Then take with it three or two more. And by the mouth of two or two witnesses, every matter may be established. Meaning, you go with someone else. Now, this next person you are going with is not your gist partner you are going with. No. It's between you and that person. So, you know to say, don't make it a public issue. Say, tell two or three. The two or three will not mean, tell it to your leader. It's usually supposed to be a leader. Right? Tell it to someone else that can go with you. This is that. Now you can have that conversation with the person. That by the mouth of two or three. Two or three means myself, which is your leader, and I mean your leader, immediate leader, your cell leader now, and you too. This is that. A matter can be established. So you guys will now go, oh, I heard what happened between both of you. Come on, settle. And still the person refused. He said, now tell it to who? Go again. Huh? Okay, sorry. Verse 17. And if you neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. Now tell it to the church there. Now, that word there, church, is not ecclesia. Some people have missed it. They say, testimony time. Collect the mic. Good morning, church. So, you know, the Bible says, if our brother offends us, when we talk to the person is not here, we'll go with somebody, the person is not here, we should not tell it to the church. I've come to say to the church that Brother Kubi and me are having a problem and he has refused to forgive me. The Bible says we should tell it to the church. That's not what he says here. What he says here is the word church is the word synagogue. Synagogue. And it's actually here used for the leadership of the synagogue. The leadership. So you tell it to the leadership, which you tell it to pastor. You know that? To the pastor. That is the apex person. Now, when pastor tries to intervene and the person does not listen and say, let that person be to you as a publican. You know that? Amen. As a hidden man and a publican. Who is the publican? How did Jesus treat the hidden and the publican? He forgave them. So now went to verse 19. Again I said to you, if two shall agree as touching anything, that they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. Now what he's saying here is not saying the two can answer, okay, let's agree that this person will suffer for it. No. Look at what they will not agree. Amen. Sorry, in verse 18 that I skipped. It says, whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Or whatever you lose on earth shall be bound. And we said, binding and losing is what? Is what? Forgiveness. In the preaching of the gospel. We saw that it's used in the preaching of the gospel. It's used the word that God has done to us by reconciling us to himself. So he's saying, by that word, it means forgive the person. Just you, allow it go. Do you get it? Amen. You have tried to gain your brother, you have defeated, allow it go. Forgive the person and move ahead. Okay, follow me. To forgive the person and move ahead. That's what he's saying. Then, in verse 21, Peter now asks, should I just forgive 7 times? Jesus said, no. Let it become your life. 70 times 7. Become your life. Forgive people. You see that? Amen. Let it just forgive people free. You see the background to that? Can you see the background to that? The believer must walk in forgiveness. Should walk in forgiveness. Therefore, next week, we're going to look at the act, 1 Corinthians 6. Can a believer take another believer to court? Can we watch if there's a dispute like that?